going in the morning. Appreciate that, guys. Well, we're going to sing a congregational song. Those of you who are out there, you can hear us sing. And sing along with us. It's Only a Sinner, Saved by Grace. 5:11 for you guys. I need you to sing with me, all right? You cover me up a little bit. Only a Sinner, Saved by Grace.
Yeah.
get into a Bible message this morning. I thought two words you wouldn't want to hear anyone close to you say, two words you wouldn't want to say in this time that we live in today, and that is, I'm infected. I'm infected. Oh no! We're talking about, of course, the COVID-19. 3 months ago, none of us have ever heard of COVID-19. It's interesting, though, now everybody's an expert, aren't they? Thanks to the internet. How it's changed our lives. How it's something that everywhere you go, people are talking about. Of course, the sickness goes by many different names. Referred to as a coronavirus, COVID-19, the Wuhan flu, or the Chinese flu. That one gets you in trouble politically, doesn't it, if you say that? But this virus started just a few months ago. I'm going to try to say these names right, Li Wenliang in Wuhan, China, had 7 cases in the hospital that he was working in with severe respiratory problems, and he recognized it as similar to the SARS sickness that was an epidemic in 2003. However, he noticed it was different. And of course, later it became known as COVID-19 that we hear so much about today. But Dr. Lai contacted the disease himself after treating a number of patients on February 7th, he died of the disease. And January 13th, it was found in Thailand. And January 20th, it was found in South Korea. And January 21st, the first case was found in the United States. And by March 11th, the World Health Organization declared it a pandemic. Now, when you think of this disease, we have been told that it's a virus that spreads by an invisible force. We can't see it, but it's very real. And we've taken a number of special precautions. You two need to spread out a little bit. You're not 6 feet. Oh, they're married. They're okay. And there's a lot of mystery surrounding the sickness. We don't know when we're infected. We could carry the sickness for a number of days and not even know that it's in our system. We could be spreading it to others without even knowing the impact that we're having on others. Now, the symptoms are very different in each person from what we understand. You hear often that it's a cough. Every time I clear my throat, people step back. I tend to clear my throat a lot normally. That's my wife calls that my cowbell. She can always tell when I'm coming because she hears me coming. And the cough, the flu-like symptoms, the redness of eyes. I don't know about you, but I looked in the mirror this morning and saw there's some red around my eyes. And you instantly think, oh no, is this it? The seriousness of the disease is different with everyone. We're first told that it's only deadly for those that have other health problems, or the elderly especially, those that have a weakened immune system. And now we're told that there are a number of healthy, younger people that have been infected and even passed away, and even infants that were once thought to be maybe immune to it. It affects everything around us. It affects us physically. It affects our world emotionally, socially. Our world's a different place. We're a little bit concerned about what this is going to do to the economy in the long run, and it affects everything about us. Now, there's obviously a push for a remedy for the disease. There are professionals that are working nonstop to try to find something they can do other than social distancing to prevent or even cure the disease. We're doing our best, they say, with the limited knowledge of this new disease and the limited resources that we have available. We're trying to slow down as much as possible, but there is no known remedy,
There is no immunizations that we can give for this disease. Now, of course, the reactions everywhere have been different, one extreme to another. Some are filled with fear, with anxiety. That's a very real thing in our world. And generally, Jesus said, in the end times, men's hearts shall be failing them for fear. And this certainly adds to that anxiety of our day. It's a lot of depression. Some folks are just plain out scared. And then there are other folks, at the other extreme, that say, well, this is nothing. There's nothing to be concerned about. Why are we doing all this? And they want to deny what's going on. Some would even say that it's a hoax. And you've heard all kinds of conspiracy theories. And all around the world, people are being ordered or asked to stay at home. And let me just say this, hearing from some of our missionaries, we have a good in America. As rough as things are right now, and we heard the last couple of days that this has become the epicenter, if you will, for the disease in America. But thank the Lord for the good health care that we have available to us in America. Amen. And some countries don't have that resource. I think of where my son is a missionary in Cape Verde, and talking with them, and it's hard for us to understand this as Americans. Folks there, literally, they don't live week to week or month to month. They live day to day, or in many cases, meal to meal. And when they're quarantined for even a couple of days, it can become a very serious matter. Now, we've got enough things in our cupboards and pantries and refrigerators to last us for, and some of us have some extra on us to last us for quite some time. But many places in the world, they don't have that luxury. And you can understand the added concern that they have. Now, the media, of course, is selling us all kinds of products and what we should be concerned, and you don't know who you can believe. But none of us, as of yet, have, at least no one in our church family, has caught the virus. None of us can say, well, I've got it. I'm infected. Now, I'm grateful that we have been caring for the needs of those in our community and reaching out to those in need. I'm grateful for our food pantry. That's been an added blessing to many at this time of year. And thankful that we have telephones, that we can keep in touch with each other, in contact with each other. And we're certainly concerned about this virus, but there's something that is far more deadly than a coronavirus that we ought to be concerned about, that ought to be our most important concern. And that is a sickness that every one of us has. Yeah. Every one of us shares this disease, if you will. And this disease that I'm talking about is far worse than any coronavirus. This disease that I'm talking about is 100% fatal. And it's something that every one of us carries from birth. And this disease, of course, we simply refer to it as sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:12 that wherefore as by one man, by Adam, sin came into the world, and death by sin. Therefore death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I'm guilty. I'm responsible for my sin. I don't become a sinner when I sin. I sin because I am born a sinner into this world. And I am guilty as well as responsible for my sin. Some people say, well, that's just the way God made me. And they think they can excuse their sin because God made, let me tell you, first of all, God didn't make you that way. God made Adam and Eve without sin. They chose to sin, and we became sinners because we are born children of Adam and Eve. And we are born with a sin nature. James tells us to let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted thee any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now some people, when you talk about sin and you talk about death, they say, well, I'm not concerned, just like folks with the coronavirus. Well, it doesn't affect me. I'm not worried about it. We're all okay. I'm all right as long as things are okay today. Proverbs 27, verse number 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Jesus talked about a man in Luke chapter number 12 that had everything he needed in this world. He lived a comfortable life. And he said in Luke 12, in verse number 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, the thing that we ought to be more concerned about is the sickness of sin that infects our entire world, that affects every one of us. Now, I'll say this about the sickness of sin, just like the sickness of the coronavirus, it affects everybody a little bit different. But the end result is the same, okay, this particular sin. Now, some are, maybe we would say, are worse sinners. Some have greater symptoms than others. And some people say, well, at least I'm not a murderer. And we compare ourselves with others. Well, at least I'm not an adulterer. Well, at least I'm not a thief. And the Bible says that we compare ourselves with ourselves, we're not wise. Yeah. And Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that if I so much as look at a woman to lust after her, I'm guilty of adultery. If I so much as think evil of my brother, I'm guilty of murder. And if I desire something that's not mine, I'm guilty of theft. Did I say something wrong? They're laughing at me, so that's my indication I've said something wrong. So it's good to have at least a little bit of a live audience to know when I messed up real bad. But the symptoms are different for everyone. But reality is, none of us are okay. None of them say, well, I've not sinned. In fact, James says this in James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. He's guilty of the entire law. That's me. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. Now, religion's done a great job today of giving us a lot of false hope. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, in fact, it's toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus gave this warning that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils and done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. What a tragedy. What a sad day for those that are basing their eternal security on a man-made religious system. Now the frontline workers, those that are preachers or sharing the gospel, just like the medical workers today, are exhausted. They're very concerned about the seriousness of the situation, though others may scoff and others may go about their busy daily life. And yet, many preachers, Christians, are very concerned because it seems so few people are concerned about their eternal soul. Very few understand the seriousness and the need of their condition. Some, of course, think only of themselves, like the toilet paper hoarders, like those that are out trying to get whatever they can. Or, like the politicians, to be quite honest with you, what's going on with our politicians is downright criminal. Mm-hmm. Trying to add all the things on to the bill that has nothing to do with coronavirus. And what a lot of religious folks are offering people, that false hope, is even more criminal. To give someone the false hope of heaven when they leave this world. And yet there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that there's only one cure. Romans chapter number 6 and verse 23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ." In John 14:6, Jesus clearly defined that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, what about people that are sincere in their religion? Again, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. In John chapter number 10, I want to read this passage of scripture in John 10, in verse number 11. The great message, again, shared to us by Jesus, God Himself in the flesh. John chapter number 10, I'm back in verse number 7 is where I want to start. And Jesus said unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and feedeth, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling leaveth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep." Jesus is the good shepherd. And He laid down His life that we might have life in Him. He came as God into this world. He didn't put aside His deity, but His deity was veiled in humanity. He was fully man and fully God at the same time. And He willingly gave His life on the cross for my sin. Jesus said, "No one can take my life from me." Many times during His earthly ministry, the crowd, mobs of people tried to take His life. And He just walked right through them. They couldn't touch Him. No one could take His life. And even when He was on the cross, He went through more suffering, more pain, more agony than any human body could endure on its own. But He stayed alive until it was time for Him to give up the ghost, the Bible says. And He bowed His head and died. He was laid in a grave, and 3 days later, He came up out of the grave. And He appeared to His disciples with many infallible proofs, the Bible says. And seeing not only the disciples, but up to 500 people or more at one time. And there's no questioning the fact of His resurrection. And finally, He made His final ascension to heaven. But He gave the promise to the disciples, and we still hold to that promise today, that I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Jesus offers eternal life to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter number 4, the Apostle Peter, preaching to a crowd in Jerusalem, said, "This is the stone which the builders have rejected, but has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Romans chapter number 10, it tells us how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior today. In Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And let me just define a couple of words there. To believe means more than just to acknowledge. It means to hold to cling to rest only upon Him. To confess with our mouth doesn't mean just to say the words. It literally means to agree with God. It means to say, yes, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died to save me. And I know if I call upon you, you will save me. I agree with you. In Romans 10, verse number 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved for all eternity. Yes, we'll still see death in this life. Yes, we'll still see heartaches. We'll still have troubles. We're still prone to sickness. Our life is going to be over on this earth one day. But we have something beyond this life to hope for. You know, the sad reality is, if the doctors, if they come up with a cure for this disease rather than just letting it run its course, and they give us a vaccination for this disease, there might be some people that would reject that vaccination. Some people that would reject that cure. And reality is, Jesus has offered us a cure for sin. And some choose to reject that cure. In John chapter number 3, Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if you're familiar with the story in Numbers chapter number 21, the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and complaining to God, and complaining about their situation and their lack of food and water, and complaining to Moses. And God said, I've heard enough of this. And the Bible says He sent fiery serpents to kill the people of God that were complaining. When someone was bit by that serpent, it didn't take long and they would die. And God instructed Moses to make a brass serpent and put it on a pole. It's interesting that the symbol we have for modern medicine today is still the picture of that serpent around a pole made out of brass that Moses made in the Old Testament. And all you had to do is look at that serpent and you would live. I can't help but to think of the crowd of people that say, well, that's a silly thing to do. The doctors say we have to do this. They say that we have to take the vaccine. We say that we have to do this to be cured of this disease. You know, John Wayne always cut himself and sucked out the blood and spit it into the bushes next to him. And that's what everybody knows, you have to do that when you get a snake bit. And now you're saying all I have to do is look at that serpent on a pole. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. What if I reject the remedy? You'll be lost for all eternity. And as you can imagine, I'm much more concerned about that than my physical thing. Now, it's good to have health. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to follow the doctor's orders, so to speak. But more important than that, we ought to listen to the Word of God. When God gives a warning of a sickness that's far more dire in its consequences, the Bible talks about the second death. In Revelation chapter number 20, it tells us that at the end of all time, it tells us that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then after that, the judgment. But the second death is to be eternally separated from God in hell. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, my name's not yet been written in the book of life. When I trust Christ as my Savior, my name's written in better than permanent ink. It's written with the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sin. And I will never lose what I have in Jesus Christ. If I lose my salvation, Jesus would have to cease to be God, and that can never happen. We're saved for eternity, and I'm grateful that we have that assurance that though this outward man perish, yet I will live forever with Jesus Christ. Not because I deserve it, not because I'm good, but because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Friend, if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you, I beg you, I plead with you to come to Him for salvation. He alone can save. He alone can give eternal life. And we're so thankful for the life that we have in Him that reaches far beyond the grave that we will one day face. We're going to close with another song, of course, we'd like to sing around here. It's called For God So Loved the World. And we're going to sing this, and then we'll be done as soon as we get done with this chorus. For God so loved the world.